This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Bueller. Some of you have seen or heard about a documentary that came out a while back about Lonnie Frisbee. Lonnie Frisbee is a very fascinating character who was at the heart of the founding of the Calvary Chapel movement, the Jesus People era. Also an important part of the growth of the Vineyard movement, and had found himself in key places at other times with other people as well. A very powerful person who had a tremendous impact in ministry, but who also, it was discovered, struggled with homosexuality in his life, and he eventually died of AIDS. The documentary that was put together about him is called Frisbee, The Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher. It was produced by filmmaker David DeSabatino, who has now got a new documentary out about another figure of interest and controversy in the Christian community, Larry Norman, whom many credit as being the father of contemporary Christian music. This new DVD or film is called Fallen Angel, The Outlaw, Larry Norman, and we have with us in studio to talk a little bit about those, Dave DeSabatino. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Well, it's good to have you. First of all, let me disclose that I am one of those who was interviewed for the Frisbee project. I knew Lonnie Frisbee toward the end of his life. I did not know Larry Norman. But during the Frisbee project, you took a lot of flack from people who thought, why are you saying all these very shocking things about somebody who had such a powerful presence of ministry, and you're taking some of the same hits about Larry Norman.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Whoops, wait a minute. For some reason, can you believe this? We're having... Okay, try it again.
That's true.
Isn't this interesting?
Is it not?
Well, we're having trouble with our microphone here. Keep talking.
That's true, Rich.
There we go. I even tested it. David, stop breaking my microphones.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's true. Controversy about these guys from some people. I personally kind of don't understand it because, you know, to me they're themes right out of the Bible. I mean, the Bible talks about the people that are in there, and it shows both the good and the bad.
I got some emails from people who were, I was going to be talking with you today, who were upset about the Larry Norman one.
Right.
The most severe criticism was they said you were lying in some of it, but the other criticism was, why would you say such things about somebody who was so revered,
right,
and why would you say it when you know it would be of torment to his family?
Right. Well, I mean, I didn't know that Larry Norman was going to pass away. I mean, you know, we started this a couple of years ago.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you started this before he died?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, we started, and as Frisbee was coming down, I started, you know, I thought to myself, what's the next natural story? Larry Norman. Because, you know, Larry and I had interacted about the Frisbee story. I thought, you know, I have the two guys that I asked about anytime that I talked to people about the Jesus movement were Lonnie Frisbee and Larry Norman. Those were the two guys that, to
And where I first learned of you was some of the writing and the research that you had done about the Jesus People era. So that's what kind of, when you started on that, was Lonnie Frisbee on your radar, or was that something you discovered along the way?
Lonnie was pretty much one of the first guys that I kind of interacted with. I mean, I found out about, and I honed in on him just because the stories were so cool. Lonnie was just like this prophet that's dropped into the middle of the 60s in the middle of Southern California. So that's a very, very cool story. And, you know, all those things that happened about him, I was a Pentecostal kid, so I was attracted by the power, but I also studied history. And so when I came across the facts of his life, what am I supposed to do? And if you're going to be a good biographer, if you're going to be a good documentarian, you tell the truth.
That's right.
So I went to the people, and I asked them about his life. And this is what came out. Now, did I know that it was going to cause controversy? Of course. Did I want the story to be like that? No. You know, it would have been a much nicer story. Had I wanted to be a superstar in the Christian community, I would have done 90 minutes of just Lonnie Power stories and never dealt with the reality of his thing.
But, and you would have had no credibility because everybody knew Lonnie had a complicated life.
Exactly. So for what I wanted to do, I tried to bite it off as best as I could. The mistakes are all mine. But, you know, this is a guy that had great highs, and then he also had great lows, and I tried to put it together in a story.
And I think you portrayed that. I mean, you didn't paint him with the black brush that said this guy had no redeeming value and no interest in serving God, but neither did you do the kind of documentary that only talked about his good days of ministry and nothing else.
Right. You know, the stories came to me. When I sat down with Chuck Smith Jr. and that story came across, I was like, whoa, you know. But Chuck was so good, and he was so honest, and I think he really is the standout in that movie, and that's why it's so powerful. I mean, I had some really powerful responses, and I realized that there was something behind it that I couldn't have put together. It was just like people were coming out of movie theaters and places, and they were just like, wow, this really changed my life. And I get emails like that all the time.
Changed their life in what way?
Just the fact that, you know, Lonnie's story is very much like their own.
Yes.
If they've struggled with this same sort of thing, I've had people come up to me in tears. Thank you for telling the story. You know, I've struggled with this, and nobody talks about this stuff. You know, God bless you for doing this, you know. So, you know.
I grew up in the Christian community, and one of the things, as I grew older, that always bugged me was that when we did see stories, when we did see movies about people's lives, we didn't see the struggles.
Right.
We didn't see, unless it were acceptable struggles. I mean, if you were a former murderer who got paroled from prison, you could talk about that, write a book about it, and go on the road. But we didn't see the complicated part of people's lives. And so it was easy for us to believe like our complications were somehow exceptional. The thing about the Lonnie Frisbee type story, and I'll tell you, the first thing that I read that I felt really did this well was the book written by Jamie Buckingham about Catherine Kuhlman. He took a lot of flack for writing a book about Catherine Kuhlman that talked about some of her weak sides.
Yeah.
I came away from that book saying to myself, I feel strengthened. I feel strengthened.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people felt that way about the Lonnie Frisbee movie, too.
I think so. I think, you know, if you look at a contemporary example, look at Frankie Schaefer. Not a lot of people are fans of him in the Christian community, but here's an honest book, Crazy for God, that I enjoyed. I just put it down recently. And I thought, I don't get the flack that he's getting. This is his honest portrayal. If you don't agree with it, that's fine, but this is his portrayal.
Well, to the extent that he's getting flack from people who disagree with him, that's fine. To
right.
the extent that he's getting flack from people who don't like him being honest, that's not fine.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And I do disagree with him,
right.
But he's being very courageous in saying, look, you know, this is how I experienced it. Here's how I experienced the Christian community. Here's how I experienced my father and his friends. And here's where I've ended up.
And I'm not sure that any of us are without. I mean, when the door closed at your house, wasn't there behavior that goes on that's different than behavior that's when company's over?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and somebody that opens that window up and is vulnerable and says, look, we were messed up. Even though we were in public ministry, don't we need more of that? I think we need pastors to kind of.
I think you started off with a compelling, example, and that is the Bible. You know, if the modern day Christian publishers had been in charge of editing the Bible, we wouldn't know a lot of the stories that are in there, and
right.
some of David's own honesty about himself would have been sanitized.
Yeah, Jesus would have had an upper body injury, and he's coming back on Sunday. We would have never got the real story about it. There would be like, we can't tell this about. The reality of what's going on. And I don't see why that is, you know.
For those who don't know the name Lonnie Frisbee, and I'm guessing there are a lot who don't, you give us your summary of him to
sure.
people who do not know about him.
Lonnie was a hippie seeker. He was doing everything that there was in the 60s. He was ingesting drugs. He was, you know, finding new ideologies. He was imbibing everything that there was. He was on a search. He was on a quest after truth. He went, took LSD, went out into the Talkeats Mountains, looked heavenward and said, God, if you're really real, reveal yourself to me.
That famous dangerous prayer.
That a lot of people prayed during
yeah.
that time. And God came to him in theophany and said, I'm going to put my light on you and I want you to go to the people. And that's what he did for the rest of his days. He was an itinerant. He was you know, obsessed with getting people to have a God encounter, however that was. And I think that there was the stories that come back of the power of the Holy Spirit that ministered to people as he touched them, as he talked to them, are beyond anything that I ever heard.
And I, as I said, I knew Lonnie only during the last 2 or 3 years of his life, but I was aware of him and observed his ministry prior to that. And in my opinion, it was authentic.
Yeah. And there are people in both those movements who will say that he was the pivotal, focal, shaping.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, here's
some very well-known names. Consider Lonnie Frisbee to have been the marker at the junction of when God came into their lives.
And to me, this is a wonderful biblical story of God using the foolish things to confound the wise, using the least of these. And not only that, using Lonnie as kind of a prophetic kind of, not personality in the sense that he was saying anything new, but a prophetic maybe story in that here he calls, what, a young homosexual, puts his spirit upon him, risks that, as if to say 40 years later, look, I don't necessarily agree with that behavior, but they're invited to the table. And that's an important thing. And I think I learned that as I went along, because that certainly wasn't my story. And I certainly wasn't going after that story. But that was the story that was kind of thrust upon me at the end. And I was like, that's what this is about, you know? So it was powerful.
Mm. And then he did die of AIDS, and he did struggle with homosexuality. Yeah. I would say it'd be safe to say throughout his life, even though he went through seasons where that was not a part of his identity.
I think that's the hard part for some people. And you know, if, I'm sure there's friends of his that are listening, and, you know, we've had disagreements over that because some of them are like, look, I never saw this, and some of them are in denial, and then some of them will be kind of take me aside and say, oh, yeah, you know. And I went through a period where I was, look, I have no prima facie evidence that this is true. And then I was taping this guy one day, and he starts to confess. And I was like, whoa, here it is, you know. And I have it on tape, and, you know. And the guy came to me and said, look, let's put it in the movie. And I said, I don't think you know what you're asking for here, because I think, you know.
He confessed to having a homosexual encounter with Lonnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I decided just to let it go and just follow in my files. But, you know, it was enough for me to say, look, I can say this without worrying about. And you know, people are mad that we said this about him. But, look, that's the power of the story. And that's the truth.
And well, and if you're going to do a documentary about Lonnie Frisbee, like I said, you would lack integrity if that were not a part of it, because it turned out to be a very big part of his struggle and a very big part of what some people had to contend with about him. And then, of course, when he died of AIDS, that was a big part.
I think, too, Rich, you know, to be on the defensive for telling the truth, you know, that in itself is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Now, I think the Bible asks you to tell the truth in love, but never, and we've had this conversation before privately about, you know, do you bring the truth out to the fore, you know? And I remember you saying this to me, because I came to you with this Larry story and said, you know, should we do this? And you said to me, I can't see a situation that the truth isn't better for coming out than hiding it, because hiding it just causes many problems.
People may quibble with somebody about what the truth is. If somebody comes to you and points their finger at you and says you're a liar, that's one kind of accusation. Right. But for the accusation of you told too much truth, that's a different one.
Yeah.
And that is an interesting phenomenon.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we will continue. With us in studio, Dave DeSabatino. He is the producer of the film Frisbee, A Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher, a new one that has just come out called Fallen Angel. It's about the iconic Christian musician Larry Norman, who, as David said, died. He did not intend for this to be a posthumous treatment of Larry Norman. It was started before he died, but it too is a documentary that goes into a lot of stuff, both good and bad. We will continue on Talk from the Heart. We've been telling you about our good friends at Child Care Worldwide and a rather remarkable program that they are doing in Kenya. Perhaps you didn't know that Child Care Worldwide has a Christian character building program. It teaches character using biblical perspective. It is now being taught to 5,000 children in Kenyan schools. 5,000 children. One of the principals said he believes not only is this being felt in the school, he has seen the impact on the children, but in the community and eventually in the entire country. You can make sure that a school gets the character building program for $100. Would you help in a generous way? $100. Your gift is tax deductible. And you can call us at 1-800-227-2337. 1-800-227-2337.
Hello, Orange County and all of Southern California. This is H.B. London Jr., pastor to pastors at Focus on the Family, inviting pastors and spouses to a complimentary luncheon Thursday, May the 13th at the Hilton Orange County Hotel in Costa Mesa. It all begins at 11:30 a.m., and our special guest speaker is Mr. Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family. To register, call 1-800-A-FAMILY. And don't forget, on the 13th of May, the Celebrate Family Tour will begin at 7 p.m. at the Hilton Orange County Hotel in Costa Mesa. Jim Daly will be there, Ron Luce, the president of Teen Mania, and Dana Gresh, a mother-daughter communication coach, along with Phil Joel, former member of the Newsboys, will be providing the music. To register, call 1-800-A-FAMILY. And by the way, there really is such a thing as a free lunch. We'll see you on the 13th in Costa Mesa.
As we prepare to celebrate Mother's Day this weekend, Don Crawford, president of Crawford Broadcasting Company, talks about the heart of a real mother with reference to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Mothers, like love, are patient. Only a real mother can be patient with a real needy child. Mothers are kind, they are generous, and they are without envy. Mother-like love is not easily angered by the child, and even in displeasure, the mother is quick to return to that loving, supportive role. The wrongs, the source of any anger, are easily and quickly forgotten, and no maternal record is kept. The love relationship is always current and forward-looking. The love of a mother is never encumbered by the baggage of the past.
This is Talk from the Heart with Rich Buehler. To write to Rich, send email to talk@crawfordbroadcasting.com. That's talk@crawfordbroadcasting.com.
This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Buehler. Welcome to our Friday time together. Remember, this coming Sunday is Mother's Day, so don't get caught short. On the Friday before Mother's Day, that is a form of getting caught short, but you still got enough time to rescue it. Be sure you do something to honor those in your life who deserve to be honored as mother. One of the things you gave me was DVD
yes.
from Randy Sohill?
Yeah, it's a CD.
CD? Yeah.
I don't think it's his newest one, but it's the soundtrack to the film.
Oh, the soundtrack. That's right. Now, Randy Stonehill is in Fallen Angel rather prominently. Larry Norman was huge in his life and in the launching of his career.
Yeah. I mean, in the story, in the opening, he says, you know, Larry was one of the most influential guys in his life and also one of the most wounding. And the story just basically goes from there. As a study of polar extremes, you know, here's a guy that for 10 years, I think from 1968 to 1978, 79, is kind of the biggest name in Christian music and is writing all these wonderful songs that kind of capture the time. And he's bringing these other artists that have become some of the biggest names in the Christian music history. If you look at the litany of, you know, top 100 albums of all time, those guys are all up at the top because they made and created some great music because Larry cast this great vision. But then you get the other side of it, which is, you know, just really a train wreck.
Are you attracted to people like this? I mean, Lonnie and Larry really are. if you were going to categorize them, they have similar complexities.
Right. I don't think so, but I'm open to that charge.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll see what number three looks like, you know, the third documentary.
I'm doing butterflies and puppy dogs.
Right. Yeah. In a way, I think that's what you're doing is you are putting on video the dilemma that people feel in the lives of people like this.
This is the gospel according to these people's lives. And it's only my take on it. You know, if you disagree with this, do your own movie or write your own book. Or, you know, there's many films and books about all sorts of characters, Jesus included. So, you know, mine is not the definitive one. I mean, there would be other ones. But for me, that story is a cool one, you know. And we could do that all day long. The fact that God uses these wonky characters. Look at the history of, I come from the Pentecostal movement. Name me a person that's influential in that thing that doesn't have this other side.
Well, and not just among Pentecostals, among non-Pentecostals. I mean, very, very often some of the people who have the greatest impact are very complicated people. Right. Not always. Not Billy Graham. You know, has never had one of this kind of a documentary done about him, but it is very common.
Right, and I think that story needs to be told because I think what we're telling, I think American Christianity has gotten into this place where we're putting up a front and saying, if you come to Jesus, then you know you'll live better, everything you know will taste better, all this other stuff, and instead I think the message should be, look, we're just as broken as you are. We just have an advocate, and I think that's an important shift. And to me, I think that's what I'm trying to drive at, because some of the things that I grew up with, I just don't buy anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's just like, look, this is the truth as I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important. And the people that I'm getting the biggest cheers are the people that are just sick and tired of it. They'll come to me privately and say, man, you know, good for you. You know, you're not making any money and you're going to get kicked in the head, but good for you because this is important to do. And I hope it inspires other people to be courageous with their thing, even though you're going to get shots and stuff like that.
Now, the Lonnie Frisbee video came out a while back. What's been its pathway? It was in theaters for a while.
Oh, no. It was, I wish.
Well, I remember a couple of theaters. Right. I didn't know how far it went.
Yeah, it was played in a bunch of film festivals, then it ended up on PBS.
That was it. Okay.
It's a tough story because it brings two very disparate things, Christianity and I guess the, you know, spectrum of homosexuality together. So people loved it. And, you know, I've had a lot of, it's gone very far up the food chain, you know, with a lot of things. We're looking at doing a biopic, stuff like that, but it's all talk at this time. And nobody goes, oh, this is a horrible story. They all love the story and the premise of this, you know, radical.
How was it received on the public stations?
Wonderful. I think we were the highest rated show in Truly California's history at the time. And I don't know whether that's been usurped, but, you know, it was a great story.
And the Larry Norman one just recently came out.
Right. We are still in negotiations for distribution and we're playing it at a bunch of theaters. We just had a showing in Nashville and then there's a show coming up on June 3rd at the Arts Theater in Long Beach. So Randy's going to come, and I think somebody from the band People, Denny Fridkin, will probably show up as well. So that'll be interesting.
This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Buehler. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more with David DeSabatino, producer of the film Frisbee, The Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher, and a new one called Fallen Angel. It's about Larry Norman. This is Talk from the Heart.
1 minute you're driving home from work, and the next thing you know, you're waking up in a hospital bed. As you wake, certain thoughts run through your head.
What happened? How did I get here?
Perhaps you hear voices.
Mr. Smith?
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Mr. Smith?
All
can you tell me what they
are?
All negative.
This guy's lucky to be alive.
Someone needs to tell this guy's family to call Berglund and Johnson.
Yes, attorneys Berglund and Johnson. Let's be honest. The fight to recover damages can be as painful as the accident itself. But Berglund and Johnson are committed to giving you the peace of mind you need so you can concentrate on getting well. You've experienced a life-disrupting injury. That's tragic enough.
Berglund and Johnson have won some of the highest injury verdicts in California and are nationally recognized for their ethical values. Berglund and Johnson's commitment to you comes first, as it has for over 30 years. Call the Berglund and Johnson Law Offices, 1-800-4-IF-HURT, because if you've been hurt, you need to call Berglund and Johnson, 1-800-4-IF-HURT.
We have referred people to Berglund and Johnson for so many years, I don't even remember how long, because they have been good friends and we have trusted them. And if you ask me off the air for a referral for personal injury, that is who I refer you to. And I'll give you that number, 1-800-4-IF-HURT. 1-800-4-IF-HURT.
This Saturday on Bill Martinez Live, we're talking about men of God being battle ready for a time such as this with Influencers Ministry leader Pete McKenzie. Pete leads a band of brothers every week and is training them on how they can be a man of God and the leaders that their family, their careers, and their country needs. It's all about men breaking the binds that have limited their God-given excellence and blessing. If you love Jesus and are committed to being renewed and transformed, Pete has a special blessing for you, your wife, and your children. I'll tell you, you won't be the same after this. Join us this Saturday morning, Bill Martinez Live, starting at 11 o'clock on the God and Country Station, KBRIGHT AM 740.
This is Talk from the Heart with Rich Buehler. To write to Rich, send email to talk@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. That's talk@CrawfordBroadcasting.com.
This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Buehler. We're visiting with David DeSabatino, producer of the documentary Fallen Angel about Larry Norman. Also, Frisbee, The Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher. It's about Lonnie Frisbee. As I mentioned, going on the air, there are those who don't like what David has done. Among those are members of Larry Norman's family. We did not arrange for any of them to call, but somehow through the grapevine, Charles Norman, who was Larry's brother, is on the phone. And I asked Dave if we could take his call, and Dave said sure. And so, Charles, hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I'm listening over the internet. I'm not in Southern California, but it's nice to hear your show from up here in Oregon.
Well, thank you, Charles. I don't think you and I have ever met, have we?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. I know that you are among those who do not approve of this. What do you have to say?
Well, I think we can get everything on the table here. David, I have a question for him. And that is, David, you already know that there's a website called failedangle.com, which refutes a lot of your claims in the movie. And you've said online that a lot of the documentation on that website are doctored or falsified. So I'm wondering if you'd be willing to sit down with myself and Larry's biographer, Alan Fleming, maybe at a coffee shop in your neighborhood in Southern California, with a video camera, while we present documents, the ones that you claim are fake, and present you with other documents we haven't made public yet, which disprove a lot of what you say. It really helped to clarify some of your untruthful claims and set the record straight. We're willing to put everything on the table if you're willing to meet us. How about it?
Charles, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you kind of finally coming above ground, and instead of sending Alan Fleming, I hope that you come to the showing June 3rd and you can ask any question that you want. And my response to your query is to say that I will do that if you will submit to a DNA test for Daniel Robinson. Because I'll tell you, Charles, what I see from my perspective...
Now, we should mention who Daniel Robinson is.
Daniel Robinson is the son that has petitioned, who has said that Jennifer Robinson, his mother, and Daniel Robinson has said that he is Larry Norman's son. And that the family, or Larry, when he was alive, ostracized this child. And then after Larry died, the family has ostracized and said that they will not do a DNA test. And I'll tell you, Charles, you know how I take the failed angle? Let me answer your question. How I take the failed angle site is that if you are willing to do that, if you are willing to obfuscate, and if you are willing to lie about this child, then what's saying that you're not going to lie about all this stuff that you're going to come? We're supposed to all of a sudden believe that this stuff on the failed angle site is true. Let me tell you, there's 15.
If you said
because you say that it's true, there are 15 people in that documentary that will attest that throughout his life, Larry Norman lied and was a pathological liar. That is what I heard over and over and over again.
At least one of the people in your film have come forward and said that you manipulated the footage of them and twisted everything.
So there's 14 other people. There's 14 other people, of which Randy Stonehill was his closest friend. Are you denying what Randy says in that movie?
I'll tell you what. You know what about the DNA test? Are you aware, and I doubt you are, so this is probably a bombshell for you, are you aware, and I have proof of this, through emails and correspondence, Larry demanded a DNA test from them while he was alive repeatedly.
Charles, I have about 150 emails from Larry twisting that child in the wind.
Okay,
gentlemen,
let me, who is standing in the middle of the boxing ring here, intervene. There is a lot that has been said, needs to be said between you. We can't take the whole program to do that.
Sure.
But I wanted to have you on, Charles, because I was going to, during the program at some point, comment on the fact that there are a lot of people who disagree with not only the fact that the documentary should be done, but some of the facts in the documentary and who have said that some of them are wrong and some of the accusations are wrong. So that's pretty clear just from the short exchange that we've experienced between you and David now.
David has just done it again. He's called me a liar when actually...
Charles, I asked you before we put this documentary, I begged the family, I begged Larry, come on. So now you've set yourself up
after the fact to sit back now and put this website up
when I have sent letter after letter after letter to you trying to get to the bottom of the truth.
Charles, you never asked. You asked
Charles.
My sister Christy if she would be in the movie. That's the only one out of the entire Norman family.
Oh, what about Larry?
The letter you've just.
What about Larry? That's the only one. Isn't he part of the family?
I'm sorry, Larry's dead. He has been for 2 years.
But
you haven't contacted any of Larry's family members.
We petitioned him.
You haven't talked to any of Larry's family members, David. And you tried to get my sister to do it. That's the only person. But you lied on stage.
Charles.
In Nashville and said you contacted all of them.
If you are lying about this child. What says that you're not going to lie about anything else?
What did I say in World
Magazine? We can't get into all of the controversy over it right now, but let me underscore what David has said. One of the big things that has always surrounded this film has been this allegation about an alleged love child of Larry's in Australia. A DNA test would really put that to bed or would confirm it. Is anybody in the family willing to do that?
Well, you know what? I've been the one that they've asked to do it, and apparently David doesn't really know about it. It's called an avuncular DNA test, and it's not conclusive. If I, the uncle, alleged uncle, have a DNA test, it doesn't indicate anything 100%. It's not even 60%.
Well, I'm not a DNA expert, but I do know that.
Let me tell you,
Charles. I'm not a DNA expert, but I do genealogical research that involves DNA, and there can be some very fine statistical probabilities that can be determined from an uncle.
Sure. Not
Charles, let me give you this.
Let me just play mediator here. Let me play mediator.
Let me just say one thing about a DNA test. Let me just say one thing, and this will be done once and for all. The reason I'm not going to do a DNA test is because the Wallaces didn't do a DNA test when Larry was alive and insisted upon it, demanded it several times. Larry also wanted to fly Daniel over here to have
Charles,
a DNA test.
Okay, Charles, hold on, Dave.
Which the Wallace family denied.
We'll pause on the right side of the ring now, and we'll go over to David.
Okay.
What's your response to that about the...
Charles is... You know, he's lying. What kind of... I mean, what do you want me to say?
Let's
You know what, Charles? I'll tell you this.
Wait a minute. Let's not talk about who's lying and who's not. What is your side of that story about the alleged request for DNA tests?
If there
in the
was
past?
A request given to the Wallaces, they would have jumped at it. They've been asking this family for 16 years. Larry was asked to not only step up to the table by Jennifer time and time again, but when this happened, when Daniel contacted him 4 years ago, he wanted a relationship with his father. He wanted to know what was going on. And that, we watched this with kind of horror in the background. So for Charles to come on and say this, I mean, it's well, beyond credulity. But you know what, Charles? Let's go even beyond that. I'll tell you what. You do the DNA test. If it turns out wrong, I will shelve this movie.
I don't care about your email.
Forget that. Do the DNA test. I'll shelve the movie. I will put it aside. That's how strongly I believe in this.
David, let's sit down at a restaurant somewhere, and I will show you the emails. You call me a liar. You need to prove that I'm a liar. You can't just call me a liar. I can't just call you a homosexual without proof.
You and he are having a dispute over what was or was not said about this family, and I know nothing about it. I really do not have a stake in this dispute, but I can say, as a person who's been involved in investigative journalism, that when something like this could be settled with the right kind of DNA test, maybe the one you're talking about isn't the right one, I don't know, then that would be a very good thing to do.
I'll tell you what, Rich,
as an investigative reporter, how about if I send you the long-form emails when Larry is demanding that they get a test and Daniel Robinson is writing back
to them. Put that aside, Charles. You can trace these emails.
I don't think that's irrelevant,
but that's not what's on the table. What's on the table is not emails, but whether or not there could be some determination as to whether there is a family connection or not.
There might very well be, and I've always maintained that. I said that in World Magazine. It could be Larry's son. It might not be, but I don't like
then
the way the
Wall
are going about this.
Okay. Then shut me up.
Yeah. As I said, there's a long, long list of things that are going on about this. What is the website, again, Charles?
It's failedangle.com.
Failedangle.
Obviously, everybody should read the page about David DeSabatino and read some of the writing he's done in the past. It's pretty interesting as to his demeanor.
Uh-huh.
Well, again, there are a lot of issues going on. I did not know Larry, and I have not been as involved in this story as I was in the Lonnie Frisbee story. But I think the DNA test is a pretty good proposal. He said that he would get together with you if you would submit to the test. What's your response to that?
My response is, you're right, a DNA test is a good proposal, and the Wallace family chose not to do it when Larry...
Okay, you know what? That's again, let me just say in the middle, that's not irrelevant,
right.
But what is relevant is whether or not a DNA test now could be done.
It might be. That's really up to me, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who other family members there are to consider.
You're the one that's standing there saying that there's a problem with this movie. You're standing there saying that there's a problem. Well, we are asking you to step up to the plate and prove the most central premise of this movie. Like I said, I will put this movie aside and go on to something else. I'll go on to comedy. Okay, I'll go on to musicals. I'll go on to something else.
Just don't become a dancer, David. That's all I ask.
You know, Rich, here's the funniest part. David DeSabatino wants me to step up and have a DNA test, but David insists that I am Larry's son, too. I've got documentation on the internet. He's been claiming that I'm actually Larry's son as well, which is hilarious. And when he's been shown the birth...
Charles, I haven't claimed that. Other people have claimed that, and Larry claimed that to other people.
I have chat logs with you claiming that.
I'm sure you do. Because privately, I will say that. I have never said that publicly. You're the one that brought it up now. So
and
if somebody comes into my...
You know what?
So what?
I've never heard...
Wallace hasn't brought it up publicly.
Charles, you know, there are members of the Solid Rock family that Larry admitted that to.
No,
so,
he didn't. You were making that up.
Were you there? Were you there, Charles?
I was born, dude. You want to see pictures of my mother pregnant in 1965?
What does that have to do with it?
You're saying that I'm Larry's child?
Charles, why would Larry admit that to other people?
He didn't.
Oh, okay. I just made that up?
Do you want to see my birth certificate, David?
Charles, there's two different questions. One is whether you are or are not his brother. That's one over on one side. The other is whether or not there were people who said that.
No, David has said that. I've got proof that he said that.
I said it right now.
Now,
I'm not sidestepping that question. I'm telling you what I found out when I
investigated. This is an interesting thing. I've not been in the middle of it before, but I can see it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah. I think it's a den of insanity. The Wallace family, who's claiming that Larry has an illegitimate kid, also claim that I'm Larry's illegitimate kid. It's absurd.
Larry sang a song called Baby Out of Wedlock. I had a baby out of wedlock. Her old man got me in a headlock. Great song.
Yes. That's true. How about 6 o'clock news? Do you think Larry was actually...
You know what, Charles? Let me finish. And there were people that turned and asked him if that was a true story. You know, Randy's testimony is that when he first met him, Larry was coming back from a situation where there was a child. And okay. He was taking care of that.
What year
My thinking is that was you.
What year did they meet, David?
1968.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily the year that you were born.
I was born in March of 65.
That has nothing to do with it. He was coming back from a situation where he was taking care of that.
Email you a picture of my mom.
Sounds like the DNA test would answer a lot of questions. Charles, listen, I appreciate your calling. And I gave visibility for the website that represents those who disagree with David and feel that he's done a bad job with this. Pardon me?
And I hope everybody reads the David DeSabatino page at failedangle.com. It's great.
Well, again, I haven't read that page. I haven't seen the website. If it says that David really isn't David and he really isn't from Canada and all of that, that's of interest about David. But the subject of the movie is Larry and the claims that are made. And I do not know what the substantiation or not of those claims are.
But I
think they're legitimate to deal with. Yes, go ahead, Dave.
The Failed Angle site is interesting to me, and you know, I saw some people from your camp, if I can say that, you know, ask why we weren't too particularly worried about this, because I think that Failed Angle site proves the central premise of my movie. Is that Larry was a guy that never took responsibility for anything. If you go on that website, there is always this there's this defensiveness. It's why can't you just admit the guy was broken? Why can't you just say,
David,
this guy was used of God, but he was messed up? Instead, on every point, you have to challenge. And then on top of that, you have to defame and derail. What's the purpose of that,
like the
except that is the modus operandi of Larry Norman?
You know what, David? I will agree. Larry was broken like the rest of us are broken, whatever that
then
means.
Then what's the problem? That's what the movie is about.
The problem is that when people like Pamela Norman and Randy Stonehill are telling lies that Larry was having an affair with his wife, and that's what led to their breakup.
See, there you go again. That was answered at the Nashville thing. That movie does not say that. In fact, the movie says, Randy says, she said goodbye to me. Randy, and then Randy answered your friend there that came and said they were having an improper relationship. So you know what, Charles? I think it's you that need to get your facts straight before you come and try to derail what I've spent 4 years researching this guy. I have my facts down.
I spent 46 years being his brother, or his son, according to you.
The last five, you know what? 5 years of that, where were you? Denny Fridkin says you weren't there for the last 5 years. You came back as he came, you know, to his end because you wanted to get a hold of the company. So, you know what, Charles? I don't know what to believe when you talk, when you open your mouth.
Okay, well, listen, this is sounding this is sounding like a family reunion here where people are saying, Mom always liked you best. Charles, may the truth be known, and I truly don't know what that truth is, but may the truth be known. I appreciate your calling. I think it was important because of yourself and so many others who do not like what David has done. I think it's important to give you a voice. I think it's important that Dave's had a chance to answer it here too. And I hope that there will be continued inquiry into what is or is not true.
Absolutely.
I would appreciate your help as an investigator to help further this query.
Yeah, I think it would take several years.
It might.
And I am interested in knowing the truth, Charles. I really am.
Good. I'll send you some information. In fact, I'll give you a sneak peek at some stuff that's coming out that hasn't been published yet.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call, and thank you for calling.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was Charles Norman calling, I think, from Oregon. He is Larry Norman's brother. among those who was very agitated about this film, and as you can tell, very agitated with David. And I'm glad he called, because it puts all this stuff that, I mean, that's what you like to put out on the table, so it's on the table.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we're in America, right? So this is open debate, open discussion. Now, I wish the discussion had happened before this, but it shows to the
modus
operandi.
You've not talked with him like this.
This is what they were waiting for, was for the movie to come out, and then they were going to do this. They don't want open dialogue. They want to slander, slur, derail. You know, we asked, we begged Larry. I said to Larry, there was a guy, I don't know if you're familiar with Larry's music. In 1973, he put out an album, So Long Ago the Garden. The guy that was there that snapped that picture, he was, you know, nude. And they put, like, his body and the lion on over top of that. He got into a lot of trouble with that. It was a great cover. Shows the new Adam and the old Adam. The guy that was there with him is a pastor from South Africa. I told Larry, I will let this guy sit in my editing booth. He can be your ears and eyes, because I know that you're sick. You know, you don't want to maybe travel and stuff like that. I will let your guy sit in there. No. But what they were going to do is, after the fact, they were going to come out and they were going to fight, because that's what they did.
Well, like I said, it sounds like a family reunion, and this is the kind of thing where it's very hard to wade through the middle of it sometimes, because you know, you're talking about something that it seems like a pretty simple question. Did he or did he not have a son out of wedlock? And that is a pretty simple question, a pretty straightforward question, one that it seems like there would be some pretty simple answers for. And
you know, the backpedaling, the kind of obfuscation that the Normans are famous for, because I've watched this family for, you know, 30 years, watch Larry kind of backpedal. He never would take responsibility. And here's Charles again. You know, you say, I will take this movie down. He comes up with, well, you know, I'm the uncle and stuff like that. There's a kid, Michael. There's other sisters. There's the mother. They can't do the DNA test. You want me to be quiet? Do this DNA test for this kid. That's how much I believe in this kid. You know, this, that really bothered me.
Yeah, you know? Obviously. This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Bueller. After that exchange, maybe you'd like to chime in. You're welcome to call 1-800-227-5278, 1-800-227-5278. We're visiting with David DeSabatino, producer of the film Fallen Angel. It's about the iconic Christian musician Larry Norman. So much of what we know about contemporary Christian music, really many regarded as having started with him. Many careers that we have appreciated started with or because or inspired by the music of Larry Norman, a very, very powerful figure. Also, Dave is the producer of the film about the hippie preacher, Lonnie Frisbee, the life and death of the hippie preacher, Lonnie Frisbee. This is Talk from the Heart. I want to encourage you to call. We have a few minutes left to call our number for childcare worldwide, and to make a generous contribution for the work in Africa. 5,000 children are being taught character education through biblical principles through the Childcare Worldwide Christian Character Building Program. It is something that has been an opportunity in the Kenyan schools that you and I can help make happen. Only costs about $100 to equip a school with the Christian Character Building Program. Would you help in a generous way? How many schools could you help make it possible for? Give us a call at 1-800-227-2337. 1-800-227-2337.
Does your church have a mortgage? Would your church like to be debt-free in just 10 years? Yes, your church can be debt-free in 10 years with a 4.5 fixed interest rate with no points and no fees. It's time for your church to stop paying those high interest rates and get out of debt now. It's time to call Lane Foundation at 310-544-4700. Lane Foundation has been at the forefront of church financing since 1927. We are in tough financial financial times, and we can lower your church's monthly payments. Call Lane Foundation at 310-544-4700. Lane Foundation is the lender, and our only business is making loans to California churches. So help your church to stop paying those high interest rates, lower the payments, or be debt-free. Make the call now to Lane Foundation at 310-544-4700. That's 310-544-4700.
You have the opportunity to lower your church's mortgage payment in order to free up money to either get you through this tough economy, allocate more money to missions, or get your church out of debt faster. Whatever your need may be, you really should call Lane Foundation to take advantage of this opportunity. Call 310-544-4700.
Focus on the Family's free Celebrate Family Tour.
It was awesome.
Oh, it was excellent. It was wonderful.
Coming to the Hilton Orange County, Costa Mesa, Thursday, May 13th at 7. Be a part of this free event featuring a live concert with Phil Jones, along with a live taping of Focus on the Family with Focus President Jim Daly and guest Ron Luce and Dana Gratch.
It was wonderful to see everybody in person and live.
Answering your questions about parenting.
Incredible wisdom. Just practical how to live life.
Find answers to help your family thrive.
Focus on the Family is lighthouse in the fog out there for all of us. I think it's a really good resource.
The Celebrate Family Tour with Jim Daly, Ron Luce and Dana Gratch, and a free concert with Phil Joel. Seating is limited, so register today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/LA.
It was very enlightening. Different ways to think about some of the things that we go through as families. It was very encouraging.
The Celebrate Family Tour, helping families thrive into the next generation.
This is Talk from the Heart. To talk to Rich, call 1-800-227-5278. That's 1-800-227-5278.
This is Talk from the Heart. My name is Rich Buehler. With us in studio is producer Dave DeSabatino. We're talking about a new documentary about classic contemporary Christian musician. Many consider him the beginning of contemporary Christian music, Larry Norman. The documentary is called Fallen Angel, and also one that was done a couple of years ago, The Life and Death of a Hippie Preacher. It's about Frisbee, Lonnie Frisbee. After Charles' call, that sort of brings up a whole bunch of stuff that I don't want to talk about without Charles being able to respond to. So we'll not get into that. What's the status of the Fallen Angel now? Can it be purchased on DVD or what?
Yeah, there's a website. www.fallenangeldoc.com where you can
Fallen Angel Doc.
Yeah. But you can get these both on Amazon.com.
They're both on Amazon now.
So,
what's the next step? Is it going to be in DVD release or
This is the festival copy. What we're hoping for is distribution at the end of the year. I mean, I knew that this was not going to go to the Christian community, but I knew that it was a story that was endemic. It's a rock and roll story. Who doesn't have somebody in their life, you know, that might have betrayed them and stuff like that? It's you know, it's no different than, you know, the Kinks or the Ramones or anything like that. So I'm hoping that somebody, and I have had a lot of people that have expressed interest. So we're hoping that that's going to happen, and then it'll just be out in general release and stuff like that. But we're still waiting for that to be trigger to be pulled.
The Frisbee one's been out for quite a while now. Has there been anything new come up since then? Or
I had a fellow that we played two shows at Fuller, and one of the guys that kind of did that, I contacted him a couple years ago, and he's since gone on to do a master's degree in one of the premier film places in UCLA or USC. I think it's USC, the Stark program. And he has a heart for this film, and he's brought it to the highest levels of Hollywood. I mean, it's the other day I got an email.
You mean about a potential dramatic release?
Yeah. It just, you know, because our feeling is, you know, that some young actor that wants to cut his teeth, that's just kind of rising up. This is a great meaty piece to play, you know.
I have mixed emotions about
right.
that. From a strict filmmaking standpoint, yeah, it's a great story, and it could be there. Your interest in doing it was a documentary interest, was trying to get to the truth as you best saw it. That may not be done in a feature film.
And we're very aware of that. Yeah. We've sat in rooms and said, look, You know, this is where our heart is. And, you know, I get a lot of Christians who say, you know, they're just going to take this and run. And believe me, we've had those people come too, but this is not the way that we're going. You know, this guy's a Christian guy. He's interested in this. We've said, look, this guy cannot become the uber gay hero.
Right, which is what some people have sort of viewed this to be.
But that was never my intention, and that's, I don't think, how that's presented.
And I don't think that's who he was.
No, he's not Milk. He's not Harvey Milk.
Right.
This is a guy that throughout the course of his life rejected that and said, you know, this is a sin, and whether he was, you know, whether, you know, there are people that will say, well, too bad, he should be the gay hero. And I just don't agree with it. My partner doesn't agree with it.
No, and I don't. And I, like I said, I knew Lonnie in the closing years of his life. That
Absolutely.
Would not be his
no.
his desire, his intention, or his representation.
No. And it would be unfair historically.
Yeah.
So we are worried about that.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Whether people agree with you, David, or not, and whether, and I don't, I'm not in the middle of the Larry Noman issue to know where all these issues lie, whether they whether agree with you or not, I do agree with your basic desire, with your basic premise, which is, as best you can, to show a truthful reflection of these very complex people.
I think you've
done that with both of them. Yeah. You did not ever question whether either one of them was interested in being used of God or was used of God.
Right. And two, I'm a fan of Larry's music.
Yeah.
I'm getting, you know, placed in this category that, you know, I dislike the guy. And there are things that are, you know, unlikable about him. He wasn't exactly a friendly kind of, you know, curmudgeon. He was, you know, brittle and sharp. But there were things about him that I enjoyed. I enjoyed fighting with him, you know, just the wrestling, because he was very sharp. You know,
he's a very bright guy.
Very bright guy. He was head and shoulders above some of those, and I don't mean to demean them, but some of those early Jesus musicians. This guy was just way outside the curve. He knew exactly what he was doing and how to project. Communication-wise, he just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I watch those things and I think, wow, this is going. But, you know, than this other side. And I don't think it would have been a problem if we had come in with open and honesty. We said, just allow us to do this. Just say that he was a broken guy and that God used him. And this, both of us could benefit from this story. And instead, I get, you know, I'm the worst thing since sliced bread. I'm this horror story. And they fight and they fight and they fight. Why? Because we're telling a story about this guy that, did I say anything, you know, that was particularly outside of the realm? No. I just said that these were the things in his life. Let's deal with them. And, you know, and all of the people that I asked, Randy Stonehill, Terry Taylor, none of them wanted a hatchet job. And I don't think that's what we've produced here.
Yeah, well, I know Randy Stonehill very well, and he's not a hatchet man. Well, that's a very, very interesting thing. Once again, you have not only done something fascinating, but controversial, and thank you for visiting with us about it. I didn't ask you about the website for Frisbee. Let's give both websites quickly.
LonnieFrisbee.com and FallenAngelDoc.com.
Very good. Thank you, Dave, for visiting with us.
Thanks,
and,
Rich.
It doesn't fit, but happy Mother's Day, I guess.
Thank you.
That's the closest holiday I can wish you happiness for. Thanks for each who's been with us. Have a wonderful weekend. Do honor those who are in your life who deserve the honor of mother. Stay tuned for Bob Duco, and we'll look forward to visiting with you on Monday, Lord willing, for more Talk from the Heart.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
KBRT and KBRT HD Avalon.